sperm quality and motility has so severely decreased in the past 50 years. And, you know, there are some scientists that have dedicated their lives to this that are, you know, pretty freaked out about this, and from a number of different disciplines as well. So it's not, you know, one of the biggest ones, her name is Dr. Shauna Swan. She's, you know, she's a doctor. She wrote a book a few years ago. She's been on like the Joe Rogan podcast and stuff. I think a lot of people know her because of that.
Okay.
But she has done a lot of work along with many other scientists from different disciplines, where, you know, it started out as they were trying to track where this huge decline in sperm quality and motility was coming from. So today, an average man of, you know, fertile age today has 50% less sperm than a man of the same age 50 years ago.
What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. I have something a little different for you today. I've been learning some new things in my life over the last several months and getting into an interesting space, learning about toxins. And it's amazing in our society how many toxins are in the things that we consume and the impacts that they are having on our bodies and our minds. And so I have brought somebody onto the show today to have a deep conversation about these toxins. And I'm just really looking forward to getting more information about this. I'm really passionate about it right now, personally. And so it's definitely hits home as I'm making some changes in my personal life as far as the foods that I eat and the things that I keep around my house that are, feeding toxins into my body, apparently, that I'm recently learning. So I'm here with Beatrice Barba today from Tabor Place. And she's a plastics expert, it seems. We're getting there, at least. And thank you for being here, Beatrice. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Thank you. Oh my gosh, I'm doing awesome. I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I have my, you told me to bring a beverage. I have my matcha latte from, and it says it's my Death Star cup because I love Star Wars. We're like big Star Wars people. So nice. Had to represent. Not drinking alcohol right now, but perhaps, well, maybe not later either, but there's so much that I could say, which is what I do, on my TikTok channel and anyone that will listen, just about this topic. And, I think a lot of people don't understand quite how it impacts them. And so I'm really, really grateful that you were able to bring me on here and we can just talk about, some of this stuff. Cause I think, people know it inherently, but then when they hear the facts and have it broken down, they're like, oh shoot, like that really impacts me. Can I curse, by the way?
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
That's fucking awesome. Okay, great.
Yeah, we're not about censorship on this podcast. The whole point is authenticity and speaking, being yourself, right? That's the whole idea. Awesome. So yes, definitely looking forward to that. And yeah, totally. There's so many topics we could get into. We could probably do 3 or 4 episodes on this stuff. We'll make it nice and concise for you guys today and give you just a kind of basic rundown on everything and little toxins 101, plastics 101.
Yeah, so we interact with plastic hundreds of different times a day. There's a few different kinds that we will typically interact with. Most people know about BPAs, that's like your hard water bottle. There's also phthalates, which are basically in every body care item you've ever owned, unless it specifically says phthalate free, and even then it might be lying. Phthalates will increase absorption, so like hand lotion, right? It also increases the fragrance and the absorption of the absorption of the fragrance, right? Because they want that fragrance to stick around. PFAs are another really big one. So PFAs are known as like the toxic forever chemicals. Those guys make things nonstick. A lot of people think of them as like your Teflon cooking pan. But what people don't realize is that these plastics are in so many different things that we consume, we ingest, we interact with. It's your, your waterproof mascara. No, I'm joking, but it's waterproof mascara. It's in your raincoat. It's in your stain resistant carpeting. We think that these things don't impact us, but what decades now, it's about 50 years of research on just specifically low dose, the low dose impact that has on our bodies. It has tremendous impacts, and all of these things will impact our endocrine system. And I think another reason that people don't necessarily realize how bad they are is that we don't talk about the endocrine system a lot. People are like, what? That's weird, right? They don't quite know everything that it does. But when you actually understand what it does, what processes and functions that it controls in your body, it's pretty integral. I mean, it's a big deal. So, your endocrine system are the glands in your body that actually regulate your hormones, right? And so your hormones regulate pretty much everything. So your metabolism, how you sleep, your blood pressure, your bone health, your immune response, your sexual function, having to do with libido, erectile dysfunction, your insulin production, right?
Yeah.
And your body's regulation of sugars and digestion. Also big one, specifically how it relates to mental health, is it regulates your adrenals and your cortisol levels, right? So, and your cortisol is your stress hormone.
Yeah.
And, these things, they have tremendous impacts. And so what plastic essentially does is that when we ingest it, which we do hundreds of times in a day, it impacts it little by little, and it just disrupts it ever so slightly. And all of that disruption over time, really starts damaging us on a cellular level. It causes all sorts of crazy things, which we've seen, rise in our society, as they become more and more prevalent, as they're accumulating in our water and in our bodies.
Yep.
So, everyone talks about the obesity epidemic, right? But, that is directly related to endocrine disruptors.
For sure.
Caloric intake, when you actually look at the caloric intake and metabolic output of, the American public, it's flat, and in some ways has actually decreased slightly since the 1970s. Mm. So from a caloric input and output standpoint, it's actually decreased a little bit. Yet obesity is rising tremendously and has been. So that's directly related to endocrine disruptors.
I was reading that article. Oh, sorry.
No. Yeah.
What were you going to? I was reading that article you sent me, and it was talking about like autism and ADHD and all of these things that are also rising due to a lot of these toxins that we're getting on a regular basis. And it's just crazy. It's literally everywhere. I'm sitting here because I've got this drink that I brought to have, and I'm just like, ready to sip on it, and it's just a little, healthy, functional mushroom and matcha drink. It's tea, awesome. Mushrooms and matcha, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is gonna be really tasty. And realizing that even though this is a healthy product inside the can, these cans are lined with BPA plastics, and sometimes BPA and even BPA free plastics that can have worse toxins in them than BPA. So it's like, it's amazing how many products and how often we come in contact with it and might not even realize it or think about it.
Oh, totally. I mean, I can see where you're sitting, like just from where you're sitting, I can list like probably 10, 20 things maybe, that are plastic that that you'll end up ingesting or consuming in some way, shape or form. And it's in our air too, right? So, it's everywhere. And, I think we have this just in our society, we have this assumption that everything has like super rigorous safety testing prior to being available for purchase. And that is just not true. Mm-hmm. The EPA and the FDA regulate basically nothing and do very, very little to actually test that a product is safe before you're able to buy it. And, specifically when it comes to chemicals, like it's pretty crazy. The FDA currently allows there was an amendment. They say they don't allow like carcinogenic items in their food, right? But they have this exemption. It's called like the generally regarded as safe exemption. It's basically, it began in 1958, where basically if something was regarded as safe, that they would allow it. They have not actually reconsidered any substance since 1982. There's currently 16,000 generally regarded as safe substances that are allowed in our food. And there's no requirements that actually exist to determine whether or not they are actually safe. They don't require anything. You just kind of say, oh, well, this is generally regarded as safe, even if there are tons and tons, decades of research showing that low dose ingestion of these specific types of plastic cause cancer, ADD, you know, other metabolic disorders, heart disease, stroke, all of that. And I mean, the FDA is, they're not going to do anything about it. The EPA currently, there's about, let's see, what is it? 62,000 current use chemicals were assumed safe at an implementation, and they have not gone back and, you know, tested any of those. I think we're living in the age of chemicals, and we don't know it, and we don't like, we don't realize it, right? Because we're in the midst of it. And I think sometimes, you know, when you're in history, when you were in history class and you, you know, you heard about, you know, the Silent Spring and some of the things that happened in factories back in the early 20s, you think, oh, okay, we're past that. We've gotten better. Very little has changed.
We're really hiding it now.
What's that?
I said we're just better at hiding it now.
Oh my God, for sure. yeah. And so I think that's, you know, I hear a lot of people with comments on TikTok that say, you know, I'm like hashtag exhausted, everything is poisonous. And I'm like, kind of. And I don't want to say that, right? But it all comes down to like just being aware of what's in your product. And unfortunately, this is the age that we're living in.
Yeah,
but for sure. Being aware of that, we can change it by not, but with our purchase power, right?
Yes.
So in this like consumerist society that we live in, we vote with our dollars. And that's actually how we've gotten a lot of other toxic chemicals off the market, is we just don't buy it. And so manufacturers stop making it.
Yeah, exactly. Create that demand, right?
Yeah.
You and I were talking about that the other day, and how so many fast food companies changed their look and their menus based off of trying to, you know, provide more healthy options. And, you know, it obviously doesn't make fast food good still, but it was responding to the general public saying, hey, we need healthier food, or we're not going to come to your restaurant. You know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, for sure. It's very much that. And even today, there's way more options for buying things that aren't in plastic than there were even 5 years ago, even 10 years ago.
Yep.
So we are moving in the right direction. Government is, at this point, we can't really trust that they're going to do it. Although when government does take action, that is the right action. It's usually on the state level. Mm-hmm. So whenever California, for example, has regulations, as they did, they had a lot of PFA regulations go in January 1st. I got really excited because we represent such a large chunk of our overall economy that no manufacturer is going to manufacture something just for California. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the rest for the other 49 states, like that's never going to happen. So typically when California implements a law, it will impact everyone else positively. So that's good. And they've done a few things, but unfortunately, you know, not enough. So I think we have a lot more power than we realize. And we forget that.
All right. If you follow along with the Dark Blue and you have not tried Sheath underwear yet, what are you actually doing with your life? Get on www.sheathunderwear.com. Save yourself a lot of rubbing, a lot of chafing, and a little bit of money with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. You'll save yourself 25%, and a portion of your purchase also goes to help us build our network of men's groups at independent breweries all around the country. So let's make this happen, guys. Get on sheathunderwear.com.
I would completely agree. And that's, you know, there, we see that in other countries where they stand up for the things that need to change. You know, we see that happen. We see those changes actually come about based off of the public standing up and being like, look, this is wrong. And, you know, I see really often here in the US where it's just kind of complacency and acceptance as far as like, well, this is what we've got. So this is what we're going to, you know, deal with. And so,
very much so. I mean, but literally like about 2 weeks ago, there was a huge formal push towards banning PFAs completely in Europe, as part of the EU. And that is fucking amazing. They won't be able to import anything with PFAs, which means American products that have PFAs won't be able to be sold there. So this will actually do, it will have cascading effects that will hopefully positively impact our country as well. But, you know, and I think a lot of this stuff, there is a whole movement. There's a lot out there. And just as we're in the age of the age of chemicals, I think we're also in the, we all know we're in the age of information as well. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much information out there. It's really easy to get overwhelmed, right? When hearing like everything causes cancer and whatnot. But when, I don't know, I try and synthesize some of this information, on my own TikTok channel and whatnot, because it can be really overwhelming. But you know, that's why I like to try and keep it really simple and straightforward with plastics, the three types of plastic and how it really impacts you. And really stick to the academic studies, so that it doesn't turn into like a tinfoil hat, you know, like.
It's so easy to cross that boundary into, you know, coming across as conspiracy theorist, you know. It's like there's a fine line between presenting all the facts and looking like you're insane.
So and when it comes to the danger, the low toxicity dangers of plastic, I mean, the research goes back to basically even when it was synthesized. So, I mean, BPAs were synthesized in the early 1900s, and they actually originally synthesized it with the intention of possibly a pharmaceutical use. Mm-hmm. And there was basically an almost identical analog, basically, of BPA called DES that they ended up going forward with. It was much more like potent than BPA was. They actually marketed this DES to women's problems, right? It was supposed to prevent miscarriage. It was basically for women that were just having difficulties during pregnancy. And it would just, help prevent a lot of different pregnancy related issues. Well, what they found within a few years was that DES actually caused cancer in children, right? Wow. So, and they used to also feed this to cows too. They used to do it to cows to help with their fertility. And women, a lot of women had, you know, got cervical cancer and different kinds of cancers, not because they ingested it, but their mother did when they were pregnant with them.
Yeah.
That wasn't taken off the market until I think the 1970s. If you look at even like, that was almost 70 years. It was on the market for that long, but where they knew about DES. Now, BPA is almost identical. It's not as potent, but it is extremely estrogenic. And, you know, like BPAs were banned in baby bottles and sippy cups in 2012, but Canada, France, lots of other countries had banned it before.
Yeah.
And so like, and now I'm being super tangential. So bear with me.
Yeah. You're good. Sorry, guys, I just want to let you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of science and history in this episode. For all of you like nerdy guys, nerdy folks listening out there, this is a great episode for you. if you're not on that side, just bear with it. And there's some really great information that you guys are going to get here, and take it for what it is, and do what you want with it. But B has some really amazing stuff to say. And I actually would like to get, before we get too much further into things, I'd like to get a little bit more into your background and your mission now, so everyone understands like where you're coming from and what your purpose is.
Yeah. So let's see. My background is in investigative journalism. I went to like a special high school. I studied writing and investigative journalism. And that was, I mean, I was, I still am obsessed with ProPublica and all those different organizations. I think they're great. But, you know, when I enrolled in college and I was about to go into really pursue that field for a career, it was a huge disruption with online media. It was like the year that I think it was like 10% of all newspapers shut down, and a lot of them went online and they laid off, you know, more than half their staff. And I think there's just been a huge consolidation there. So as a result, I did not go to, I didn't complete my degree in investigative journalism, and I totally pivoted and did a total ADD thing, which is who I am ADD, which is, by the way, another symptom of, or another, you know,
side effect of
different disruptors.
Yep.
But I then went into cooking, and I went to the Culinary Academy and I studied food science, and I was actually a professional chef for like, I don't know, God, almost 10 years. I'm like, how long was it? Yeah. And so I did that for a long time. I definitely saw a lot of things in the kitchen where, looking back now, I'm like, oh, wow. You know, like, we did sous vide, where you're basically vacuum sealing something and boiling it in plastic. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yes. Ah, seriously. Yeah.
Stuff drives me crazy now.
Probably, and microwaving things in plastic wrap too.
Oh my God. We went through reams of plastic wrap, like on a nightly basis. It was crazy. Everything was nonstick. It was terrible. but then, you know, when I had my first baby in 2017, I'd known, you know, I've always kept my love for reading and investigative journalism. And like, I will dive down into academic journals, like, for fun.
Nice. Like, yes.
You know,
everyone forget else. Netflix. Let's
yeah, get I know. Yeah, I know. It's really terrible. Like, the rabbit holes I'll go down, which is, again, another ADD thing, right?
Indeed. Yes. Hyper-focus. Yeah. All about it.
Yes. Totally. So, but I get super into it, and I find it really fascinating. And so then when I had my first baby in 2017, I knew that BPAs were banned in all baby bottles and sippy cups, right? All baby drinkware. I knew that. That happened in 2012. But I also knew already that BPA has many analogs that are used, called BPS or BPF, and they're identical. They literally do the same thing. And in fact, many studies show that it actually is more toxic because it's not as like tightly bound with the material. It actually leaches easier. A prime example of this is actually in receipts. There's a lot of BPAs or BPA analogs in receipt paper. And it will leach onto your hands really easily. And then, you know, you touch your face or you eat something or you know, and you end up ingesting it. That's one way. So essentially they found that, so they banned BPAs, but then they didn't ban BPS or BPF or any of the other analogs.
Any of the other offshoots that came from BPA.
Yeah. And so here I am as a mom, and okay, there were some glass baby bottles. Sure. There weren't that many. But then once my son aged out of bottles and it was like the sippy cup stage, there was fucking nothing. Everything was plastic.
Yeah.
And every toy was plastic. And like, everything was fucking plastic. And and as a grown-up, like, I could have my stainless steel water bottle, or I could have glass cups, right? So there was something for me, and there was something for like infant stage, but there was nothing for that in-between stage. Where there's so much important like brain development, physical development still occurring.
Right.
Yeah. And it's was really crazy to me. So anyways, I started my own company. My company is Tabor Place. Here, there's my box.
Yeah, nice.
And I do... Yeah. Oh, sorry. I pulled out a new cup and I didn't even open it.
It's all good.
And basically it's borosilicate glass, right? Mm-hmm. Liquids never touch plastic inside the cup. It's got food grade silicone, which has been proven to be safe for decades. And it's just something where, like, you know, it doesn't have to be so difficult. It shouldn't be so difficult. It should be easy and accessible. And that's been my whole thing, is like, here's a market that really needs as few of these endocrine disruptors in their body as possible during this point.
For sure.
You only get like one chance to develop a child's brain, right?
Yeah. One shot. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Gotta do the best we can with it, right?
Yeah. I posted a study the other day, and you referenced it earlier, about how we've had decades of research showing that medium to even low levels of BPAs will cause, you know, some really crazy behavioral issues in boys and girls, although they do present themselves differently later on in life. So And this one study that I posted is about, they literally used MRI technology and scanned children's brains. Mm. And what was interesting is that before, there are tons of studies where they've shown all of these different behavioral problems in animals first, yeah. right? So in rodents and in mice, primate studies and fish, and showing just strange behavior in the animal studies of them, you know, separating themselves from the group or, you know, not eating, being erratic, being aggressive mm-hmm. When fed low doses of BPAs. There have now been many studies showing it in humans as well. And this one study that I posted was the first one where they'd actually done an MRI and they found that it was directly related to the mother's ingestion level of BPAs at 17 weeks gestation, which is wow. You know, almost halfway through the pregnancy.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
And they're literally able to see that the microstructure is different inside the brain. Mm-hmm. And it was directly correlated to then behavioral problems later on. So ADD, autism spectrum, violent, aggressive behavior, you know, and that's not something that you can really change or remediate other than, you know, just the normal things that we have day in, day out now.
Into the Dark Blue has partnered with our favorite CBD shop, Alamo Botanicals, to give you guys easy access to your favorite CBD products. My personal favorite is the water-soluble CBD that you can drop in your water in the morning and head out the door. It'll help you with your focus and anxiety throughout the day and simply just help you get your job done a little bit easier. I also really enjoy the Moringa Skin Food. It's great to get rid of some of those blemishes and red spots on the skin and just really give you a nice, healthy glow. So head over to alamobotanicals.com, save yourself 10% with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. A portion of that also goes to help us with our mission to create men's groups all around the country at independent breweries. So help us make that happen and help yourself be a little healthier as well. Head over to alamobotanicals.com.
I read that it's like they can even do through urine analysis, find out like women who have higher amounts of that stuff in their urine analysis that it directly correlates to their children. And it's amazing how it seems like it's pretty easy to find the answers to this stuff, you know, and to make changes. And it's like to be able to do a simple urine analysis and say, hey, you know, this is going to transfer your kid. And like, how can we mitigate before we try to have kids and all that sort of thing, you know, and then the really interesting, you know, learning about how it affects fertility in general is something that, you know, is something I've also started learning about recently. And so I mean, do you have any more information about when it comes down to fertility and all that as well?
I mean, that's a really crazy one. So I mean, all, you know, as you know, the endocrine system, right, and your hormones definitely impact your reproductive system.
Yeah. And guys, that means you too. For you guys that are listening, like, you have a hormone whole system as well. And you know, we culturally, it's like, oh, you're being hormonal or whatever. People are referring to women, and we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of that mindset, because guys, you have hormones as well, and they fluctuate daily, and they fluctuate based off of your foods that you eat and your lifestyle and all of that stuff, and it affects so many things in your life. So this is definitely good information to take to heart, and, you know, put your ego aside and
again, I totally agree. I think there's not a lot. I think it's referenced in women as being, oh, she's being hormonal, but forgetting that men have basically almost all the same exact hormones in their body.
Exactly.
And have many fluctuations, and it is directly linked to your reproductive, you know, to your body, you know, lots of crazy things. I mean, specifically, you know, sperm quality and motility has so severely decreased in the past 50 years. And, you know, there are some scientists that have dedicated their lives to this that are, you know, pretty freaked out about this, and from a number of different disciplines as well. So it's not, you know, one of the biggest ones, her name is Dr. Shauna Swan. She's, you know, she's a doctor. She wrote a book a few years ago. She's been on like the Joe Rogan podcast and stuff. I think a lot of people know her because of that.
Okay.
But she has done a lot of work along with many other scientists from different disciplines, where, you know, it started out as they were trying to track where this huge decline in sperm quality and motility was coming from. So today, an average man of, you know, fertile age today has 50% less sperm than a man of the same age 50 years ago. So wow. You literally have half the amount of sperm that your grandfather did.
Wow.
So sperm quality and motility, which is its ability to, like, you know, travel and get to the egg and then fertilize. Yeah.
Right.
Has decreased 1% every single year for the past 50 years.
Holy shit.
Concurrently, at the same time, women's fertility has decreased 1% every single year for the past 50 years as well. There's been an increase of miscarriage and uterine failure. I think it's doubled. Yeah, it's doubled since they really started tracking this, and they can go back to historical data looking at this. Mm-hmm. And it's they actually are predicting 2045, which is not that far away, as being the first year, as these trends continue, mm-hmm. that human beings would not be able to reproduce without some sort of external intervention.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's fucking crazy. So, and it's related specifically to phthalates. Phthalates are one where I talked about, it's in all your body care, every mm-hmm. soap, every shampoo, because it makes it smell better. It increases, you know, the fragrance in it.
Right. And we're so obsessed with scent in the US too. Like we have to have, it's got to smell good. Everything's got to smell like flowers or fruits or whatever. And it's just like, you know, it's okay to smell natural. It's okay to smell like yourself. It's okay for your house to smell like the food you just cooked. Like, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
I totally agree. It's in so many things you don't even realize. And it's in a lot of our food. So what they'll actually do, and this part is really crazy, is they will spray it on food crop. They'll spray it on basically animal feed, things they're going to feed animals, right? So cows and pigs, because it increases absorption and it increases the amount of pesticides that the plant will actually absorb, right? So they spray it on the plants. That gets all the phthalates. And then the animals end up eating that same feed that just got sprayed with all of that. So now it's also ingesting pesticides as well, right? Which we all know inherently are also not good.
Right.
But all those phthalates. Yeah. And then it goes into their milk. Like cheese is really bad. And like, I'm obsessed with cheese.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, but again, a lot of countries have known this. So when I started down like the rabbit hole with phthalates and dairy, like it was like Belgium and Denmark were doing all of these studies in the fucking 90s figuring this shit out. And again, I'm here talking about it and everyone's like, "You're wrong." And I'm like, "No." Like they have been dealing with this for much longer. And again, I think America, we have this like, I don't know. We tend to think we're the only ones out there and we know best, but we don't in many ways. And people have been dealing with this stuff for a lot longer than we have. We're still very behind the eight ball in a lot of this stuff.
For sure. I saw when I was watching that Not So Pretty documentary I told you about the other day.
Yeah.
They were talking, they mentioned how there's like the EU has banned like thousands. I think it's 11,000 or something like that chemicals. And the US has banned 11 at the time of this documentary, which was recent. You know, it came out in late 2022. And so, the US has banned 11 chemicals out of the 11,000 that the EU has banned. And it's just crazy to me. It's crazy.
I know. And then, I mean, a lot of the times this will, people start getting into some political cat fight or whatever. And we need to have more regulation. Oh, less regulation, you know, whatever. But ultimately, we all pay the price. You know, and so that's why I don't trust government to do these things. I think it's just a lot of too little too late, which is why I say just like, as much as you can, start noticing how you interact with plastic and, you know, do what you can to eliminate it. And a lot, I hear a lot too of like, I'm poor, I can't do that. You know, on my TikTok channel, I'm like, dude, like you can get a wooden spatula. That's like $1.99. Like, you're going to be okay. The wooden spatula, metal spoon, like a lot of the stuff is just kind of like getting back to basics. And only through noticing and really realizing how much you have, you can just start getting away from it. And it's really a lot easier than, you know, than it seems to.
Oh, absolutely. I've actually, like, over the last couple months, since I saw that documentary, actually started filtering out almost all like my regular use items that are in plastic. You know, I've gotten containers for them so I can put them in glass, and that way they're not just sitting there in plastic. You know, I'm transitioning to the non-toxic cleaners. Actually just started using Grove just to see how they work out. Started using grove.co, and they send you literally a free kit that you spend $20, you get a $50 kit that includes glass bottles and non-toxic cleaning products in that come in little glass bottles. The concentrate comes in a little glass bottle. You just pour it into the spray bottle and fill it with water and you're good to go, you know? And it's not terribly expensive. It's not any more expensive than the cleaners you buy at Walmart.
Yes. And you know, when we think about like another thing we're living in right now is this culture of everything being disposable. But like, again, we just think that it's been this way forever, but it has not. Like in the 1950s, you had your milkman who would come and like, you know, you would put the bottles out and switch it out. And like, we went away from that because plastic manufacturers wanted to make money. And there was a lot of subsidies going into oil because, again, you can't make plastic without petroleum. And they have continued to push it. There's an awesome Frontline documentary I think everyone should watch. It's free. Right? Because it's Frontline PBS.
Nice.
And it's called Plastic Wars. It came out like a few years ago, but they basically interview the dude who invented the lie of recycling. It's so awesome. He was hired by the American Chemical Association, which is basically an association of all the biggest chemical manufacturers, DuPont and 3M and all those guys, and all the oil people. And it's just like you would imagine in like some, I don't know, James Bond movie or something where they're all together in the room and they're like, at that time, there were all these different municipalities. This was like in the late 80s that were actually trying to ban plastic and disposable plastic packaging, styrofoam, and all of that, because the garbage problem was really getting out of control.
Right.
They actually like, so I think parts of Minnesota were trying to ban styrene, and different places were doing this. So, and they were like, shit, this is all our money. Like, we can't lose money on this. What are we going to do?
Right.
And they came up with, well, you know what? We heard of this thing called recycling. It's not scalable, but maybe if we say that it works, we can start this whole thing and, you know, people will go for it. And they interview the guy and he's like, yep, it was just me. I had millions of dollars and I decided to make an ad campaign. And it fucking worked. It worked like a charm. Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, yeah, they even, they helped fund that one commercial with like the crying Indian. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh my God. It was so, yeah. It was like, well, and what that did was it put the responsibility on the consumer.
Right.
It tried to make it,
right.
They turned it, and it was, it's fucking genius. It turned it into a moral issue.
Now if you don't put the plastics in this separate bin that we provide for you, then you're the bad person.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
And he literally says like, this was recycling was never something that was meant to be done on a large scale. Like it was literally just a short-term thing so they could try, you know, so they could basically get the lawsuits off their back and they could continue producing more plastic. Dude literally says that. And that's by turning amazing. It into a moral issue, an ethical issue about someone feeling guilty and bad, right? As opposed to them being the ones overproducing this stuff and pushing it on us.
And the interesting thing is it's like, it creates that guilt. And people feel bad about not recycling, but then it also opens the door to perpetuating the convenience culture that has been so like just growing massively since the 70s, 80s with, you know, dual income households, both parents working, and like the more convenient it is, the better. Right. And more convenient means more plastic, more toxins, less expensive, and less expensive means also more chemicals, more processing, more all of these things that it just magnified all of that in so many ways. And it's crazy to think that one moment, one decision like that, one person apparently can just throw everything into this just whirlwind.
It's really crazy. I mean, the current statistics are that only 5% of plastic gets recycled.
Wow.
And even I have a hard time like putting things like plastic wrappers in the garbage because it's so ingrained in me. Like, this is wrong. But I also know there are certain things that can't be recycled.
Right.
Right. And so even though it's plastic and I know it can't be recycled, I still feel bad about it because it's just so ingrained. But yeah, it's really this disposable, like, you know, culture of convenience that is ultimately contributing to, you know, our mental health being, you know, really, really bad in many other ways, when you look at different statistics, and it's so closely related to our hormones and it's just perpetuating itself. I mean, yeah, it's really crazy. You know, there's other things that I'm not, as plastic is starting to get recycled more and more, they're finding that even the plastic that is recycled is extremely contaminated because they're never able to actually get it clean enough. It is actually more toxic for you than virgin plastic, which is horrible. And so, for example, the EU just passed a law where I think it's beginning 2025, 30% of a plastic bottle. So if you buy a Coca-Cola in Europe, 30% of that plastic has to be recycled. And they've done this to try and, they've done this to try and force manufacturers to recycle more, and everyone needs to recycle more.
Put the responsibility on the business instead of the consumer.
The recycling stream and supply chain is so incredibly contaminated that you're literally going to be poisoning people even more.
Wow.
Right. So, like the number one, the number one, you know, cause of death in our country is heart disease, which is directly related to high blood pressure. And it's directly caused by our endocrine system being disrupted with different forms of plastic that we ingest.
And not to mention all the other chemicals through, you know, food processing and everything that have been created. It's just a myriad of just toxins that we're putting into our bodies all the time. And you know what really floored me was learning about compostable plastics. And it's like, oh, like for the longest time it was like, oh well, we're being socially responsible if we use compostables. But compostables are just as bad, if not worse, just even though they're made of plant plastic. It's like it's literally just plastic that's made from plants. So it's the same thing.
It's totally the same thing. And what's worse is when they actually do try and compost it, and then it's also contaminated with all the, you know, the PFAS to make it non-stick, right? To make it not able to break down, and all those other things. And basically all plastic is bad, right? That's just it.
The story.
I mean, and you know, ultimately there's being in the age of information, all of it gets really overwhelming, right? So instead of getting really down in the nitty gritty, I like to just say that because ultimately that's what's true. You know, and I spoke a little bit about the obesity epidemic. I kind of talked a little bit about that. I want to dive in a little bit. I mean, the American Association of Pediatrics just published some really, really crazy recommendations for dealing with childhood obesity. They actually, this was, gosh, I think a week and a half ago. They basically came out and said, childhood obesity is such a major, massive issue right now. We have to be extremely aggressive with treating it because of how it shortens one's lifespan, essentially, and leads to so many chronic diseases and dysfunctions, you know, later on down the road. Currently, 20% of our children in this country are obese. 20%.
That is
14.4 million.
Very high number.
It's crazy. And what's even crazier is that this number has doubled since the 80s when we were kids. And, you know, and then it doubled, that rate doubled from the 1960s.
Yeah. Wow.
And there was a really fat. And it's really crazy. I just found out about this study where, you know, in the 80s, childhood obesity, when it got to 10%, you know, the government and everyone was really alarmed at 10% of our children were obese. So they did this huge push on like the food pyramid and nutrition. Like,
I remember all that. Yeah.
Moving, right? Like, yep. It's, I remember seeing it on Sesame Street and talking about like eating fresh fruits and, you know, all of that. But things weren't changing. And they decided to do this study where they got, you know, a few schools, and half the schools, they basically didn't change anything. The other half, they, brought in special teachers. They changed all the food in the cafeteria. They brought the parents in and taught them about nutrition. There was a huge focus on exercise and education and all of that, to, you know, basically everything that, that was being recommended by the National Institute of Health, who was conducting the study. And then at the end of the study, they compared the results between the two groups of kids and nothing was fucking different.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And, part of that, it has to do with it being something that, is changed in your genes in utero, right? Mm-hmm. So before a child is born, but also after they're born, when your genes are disrupted by endocrine disruptors, mm-hmm. after a certain point, you can't really change it with diet and exercise,
right?
There's very little that you can do to change it. And so that's why we're seeing some of these, you know, huge, basically doubling every generation of obesity rates.
Have you seen WALL-E?
Yes, because hello, I have two boys and I fucking love WALL-E. And yes.
One of the best Pixar films ever. And, it's a really interesting futurist look into our society. I mean, if you think about all of the people roll like in their little hover chairs, all of them are obese. And it's really a pretty interesting look into our future. But.
And they were really disconnected from just like the roots of being human, right?
Yeah.
Like everything was like prepackaged and super processed. And I meant to say that before too. And like the National Institute of Health study from the early 90s where nothing changed. I want to go back and actually look, and I don't know if they have it available, but like, what did they eat? Because this is another thing, just because something is deemed as healthy, if it's mm-hmm. processed, it's going to be just as bad for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of all the different like plastics or whatever that get into it through processing, right?
Yeah.
Conveyor belt. They can literally track, it leaches from the workers' gloves, right?
Oh, yeah.
Food. Wow. All like super creepy sanitizing agents that they use to get mm-hmm. all the machinery clean. All of that leaches into our food. And in very low doses, it will change us. So I'm like, I would love to see what they actually fed the students. Like, was it fruit from a can?
Yeah, because, exactly.
Like, cans are super, super, you know,
terrible.
High concentrations of BPAs.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, things like that. Was it like veggie sticks that had some weird holding liquid or, you know, like the powdered veggie chips that I see? I'm like, you know, like.
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy. A lot of people don't know that cans are lined with plastic. And if they're not lined with plastic, the aluminum is horrible for us as well. And so it's,
for sure.
Yeah. And there's so much that we're told is, oh, well, it's now got more calcium in it, so it's healthier. And oh, it's no fat. You know, we went through that trend where it was like zero fat is going to make it healthier. And it's still a convenience food stored mm-hmm. in plastic and processed with all these chemicals and everything. And it's we're just fed all these lies along with all of the terrible foods that we're like, dude, for instance, I was thinking about all these things, right? So I have a Nespresso machine.
Oh, and but you know what? My husband does too.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. And he drinks like so much sparkling water out of a can and it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But like at least it's water, right? Like
there's that.
You know, that's like it won't certain things make things leach more. But yeah, Nespresso and what's even worse, that's recycled aluminum.
Right. Well, and
contaminated.
You might already know, but I didn't know it's lined with plastic on the inside, and it's a very thin lining of plastic, but it's considered food safe lining is what they call it.
Yeah.
On the website of Nespresso. And I looked up what a food safe lining is, and it's terrible plastic chemicals. Like it's, I was floored. I was just like, it's such a simple thing that we don't think about. Yeah. And it's, what is it, parts per, like how many parts per billion can cause these issues that you're talking about?
Yeah, so again, like there's been very little done in regards to like regulation, but the EPA last year did update their health advisory. Now it's not a legally enforceable limit, but they updated their health advisory for water. And there's over 10,000 different PFA compounds. PFAs are the toxic forever chemicals that make things nonstick. It's your Teflon pan, right? Mm-hmm. I spoke about that before. Yeah. By the way, it's in the lining of every single like fast food container you've ever had. Yeah. So that to me is a real reason why fast food is bad, is because mm-hmm. of the plastic in it. It isn't even necessarily the food itself. It's just the packaging. But what they did is they actually updated their advisory limits. They lowered it 17,000 times. So not, they didn't, what I mean is that it was used to be 7 parts per million. They uh-huh. lowered it to 0.2 parts per trillion and 0.4 parts per trillion respectively.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it literally was reduced by a factor of 17,000.
Yeah.
And it basically, the only reason that they have even said that is the health advisory limit is because they know that some will still be out there. But they literally said is they want to get it as close to zero as possible.
Yeah.
And even though, and this is where it's like this double talk, like even though the EPA is saying this, right, and mm-hmm. it's not a legally enforceable limit, it's still allowed in all of our food and our clothing and
yeah.
all of these different applications.
Nylon, rayon, all of those things are plastics. And to give you guys an idea, and I think I'm remembering this right, I'm not completely sure, but I believe it's like one part per billion is highly toxic, which is the size of an Olympic swimming pool in relation.
Yes. Yeah, totally. And yeah, we eat, I think it's about 2 credit cards worth of microplastics.
Yeah.
At first I thought it was a year, but then someone actually corrected me and they're like, oh, no, that's a week. And I'm like, that's horrible. I think it was 1 credit card's worth of plastic every week, just in microplastics from your water supply.
Yeah. And I think it was one of your videos that was talking about how it just gets lodged in all of our organs and stuff. The microplastics. Was that one of yours?
Yeah. It loves, so plastic is lipophilic, which means that it loves fat, right? So, mm-hmm. and that's why before, like I mentioned, not with sparkling water in a can not being super bad, it has zero fat content. So it's not going to have as much plastic leaching into it as other things, mm-hmm. right? But plastic will get into your body and it will lodge itself into your fat. And then as your hormones are disrupted and you start to gain more weight, it basically just bioaccumulates in your body. Wow. PFAs are the one that actually don't leave your body for a number of years. Mm-hmm. That is really the one to watch out for. But what's good is that BPAs and phthalates, they leave your body really, really quickly.
Oh, okay.
Usually within 24 hours, other than the ones that get lodged in your fat.
Gotcha.
Good news here is that once you notice that, you know, okay, I'm going to start using a stainless steel water bottle. I'm going to get a really, you know, a $200 reverse osmosis water filter, right? Mm-hmm. And they're super accessible and not drink bottled water.
Yeah.
Once you start eliminating them, you won't, like your body will just detox them basically. PFAs okay. are really to watch out for. So nice. There's definitely a lot that you can do of just reducing your consumption is the main thing to do. And it's really easy once you start inspecting everything that you interact with and how many awesome, cheap alternatives there really are.
I was never sure if other people could hear that announcement or not. So I'm glad to know that you can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zoom is very informative, letting us know so we're not confused.
But we are watching you.
Exactly. and I'm paying them to record all of these things we're saying and use against us later. So
yeah, this is totally off topic, but it's kind of weird and creepy. So like we have an Apple TV and if you press the side of the remote, it will do a voice feature. So you could say like, oh, put on WALL-E or put on Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
But what I've noticed is that I'll a lot of the times, cause I have kids, they're like screaming all the time, not screaming, but like talking, right?
Yeah.
We're always talking.
It's all the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be talking and then I'll press the button, you know, and it will start searching for the thing that I said 2 sentences before.
Whoa.
When I went before I'd press the button. And it's happened so frequently. Like, I'm going to do a TikTok video on that to be like, guys, what the fuck? Because it just shows that it's recording before I press the button.
It's like, does this happen to anybody else?
Yeah. That's creepy. And like,
seriously. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always literally, these devices are always listening to us. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that we just have to, you know, I'm big on balance. I'm big on recognizing like where I can control things and where I can't. And there's certain things like switching out all my things, all my items for glass or aluminum or stainless steel. I mean, either switching those things out or getting foods that are organic and non-toxic, not processed, you know, minimally processed. I can make those decisions. But the moment I decide to interact with the technological world, it's like there are certain things you just have to accept that are facts. And if you're going to have a smartphone, you're being listened to, you're being watched. And that's just the way it is. And that's okay.
I don't want it. It's not okay, but in China, I'm like, everything's made in China, including your phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Or like, we should ban TikTok because they spy on you. I'm like, oh, like Facebook, Google, and Apple, like them. Because
yeah, they do exactly. The same thing. Exactly.
But yeah. They're American countries. And so that's right. Why it isn't. Yeah.
And they have contracts with the government. So, you know.
I know, right? It's really terrible. yeah.
It's just, you know, that's part of being part of normal society. And so it's like, yeah, let's pick and choose the things that we can control and the things that we're willing to accept and move forward with our lives.
Control what you can control.
Exactly.
Right? Especially when it comes to the choices that of the things that we eat and like interact with on a daily basis.
Exactly. Yes. Nice transition.
And so, I had like my friend shared just the perfect example of this. And I just thought it was a really great example. Her husband is on this like big health kick since the beginning of the year, right? Yeah. Has been doing all this exercising, you know, endurance training, and he'll do like the little liquid IV powders.
Oh yeah. Right?
You know, and I mean, I remember even when I was a teenager, not a teenager, but like early 20s, I would do like the four hour energy, or is it 3 hour?
Oh yeah. 5 hour. I think 5 hour energy, right?
One of those hours.
whatever. Too long.
Right. And, I would do those. And so he's been doing like the liquid IV. And when, you know, when my friend was telling me, she looked it up, and basically it's super, super heavily processed. And when you actually like do a breakdown on what it actually does for you and the electrolytes, like you could actually get more electrolyte hydration by like drinking a shot of pickle juice or literally just getting water with a squeeze of lemon and a tablespoon of salt. And like that would do more for you than like the liquid IV, which super processed, has lots of plastic, all the artificial flavors, coloring, all of that. Like, I think like we just gotten so far away from things that are easy, like we are the way that things should be. And we think that things don't have a cost, but they do. They definitely have a cost on our body and have a cost on the environment and all of that.
For sure. You know, and the thing is, all of these things exist in nature already, but we've been so programmed to think that we can only get electrolytes from Gatorade, or we can only get electrolytes if they're added by some company, you know. And it's like, makes me think of Idiocracy. I don't know if you've seen or read Idiocracy.
Oh my God, that's like my favorite movie, but I can't watch it because it's too like hashtag triggering. Like I watch it and I just get so freaked out. Oh my God, I'm so glad you mentioned that movie. Yes.
It's great. Yes. And the Gatorade, right? You know, if the plants don't get Gatorade, they'll die.
Yes. So, they flush their toilets with it. Oh my God. Yes. And they're like, why aren't the plants growing? And then he's the smartest man in the world, but he's actually not that smart.
Yeah.
And he's like, you just use water. And then they think he's a genius.
So, and that's exactly it. Like, let's get back to the basics. And the basics are good. Like simplicity is such a nice thing. You know, we overcomplicate so much, and it's, the more I simplify my life and the more I go back to like, oh, vinegar and water can clean pretty much anything, you know? And that's
funny. And it's like, There was one thing that got a lot of traction on TikTok when I shared it. And again, this was old news to me, but I just forget how a lot of people don't know certain things because it just doesn't get out everywhere. But there was a massive class action lawsuit filed against Annie's Organic Mac and Cheese back in like 2017, I think it was, because of their super toxic levels of phthalates. Phthalates, I mentioned before, are the ones that are directly linked to
in the mac and cheese.
Yes. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's organic. And I'm like, yeah, but organic isn't necessarily better all the time. You do not lose organic status as a farm if your animal feed has phthalates in it.
Yeah.
And phthalates are also in, again, the processing plant. So it's like the conveyor belts and the nonstick vats and that cheese when it's in that super powdered, like think about how far it came from the cow, right? Just how many processing steps. It got plastic along every single way on the way. And the problem is that it's not just Annie's, it's all boxed mac and cheese. You know, and the packaging itself is lined with PFAs and phthalates. And I go on TikTok and I literally make mac and cheese with four ingredients, and it takes just as long as making a box mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And it's the same amount of dirtiness, and it tastes like way better.
A lot better.
And it's not, and it's like, you know, I guess if you quantify the ingredients, it's a little bit more expensive, but it's like not even that expensive. And I think people have just gotten away with like, it's, you can do these things. It's just a matter of getting out of that mindset of everything has to come from a box and be disposable. And that is convenient. But a lot of the times there's a cost to it, and it's actually not that convenient. Like I had the same amount of dirty dishes, you know, it's just as easy to do. It tasted so much better.
Yeah, I completely agree. Love that. I wanted to talk a little bit about immunity as well. You know, it's like this is such an important thing, that our immune systems, and I'm wondering how much these chemicals affect our immune systems.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't have children yet, but I know your sister does, and I have two small boys, and we didn't get really sick this winter, but basically it was really, really unprecedented. And anyone that has kids listening to this will know, like this past winter, the onslaught of childhood diseases was so extreme. Like it was just, you know, again, my boys didn't get very sick. I focus a lot on gut health and probiotics, which I think I'll talk a little bit more about later on. It was like every family was like getting bronchitis and then getting RSV and then getting hand, foot, mouth. And it was just like one thing after the other. And it was not, you know, COVID. It wasn't. It was everything else. And it was huge. And I remember hearing on NPR that South America, like in the summer, you know, because it's winter in South America when it's our summer.
Yeah.
They had said, we predict that this will be the worst flu season of all time. And I remember hearing that. And I'm like, that's really crazy, especially considering, you know, how much we now know about immunity and keeping ourselves, you know, hand washing and all the good practices on that. And sure enough, it turned out exactly as they said, that it was just an extremely bad winter. And for all of these diseases. And it was that way before the pandemic. And it's something like, I was thinking back to when I was growing up, I just don't remember it being like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, this is something that a lot of researchers have noticed as well. And they've started doing a lot of studies have recently started coming out about the really drastic immune suppression effects of endocrine disruptors. What's also crazy is that both 3M and DuPont, the two biggest PFA manufacturers in the United States, they had their own internal reports and studies proving this in the 70s and 80s, and they literally chose to not publish this. Tons of different lawsuits against them, which they've settled, and they've tried to get a lot of these documents out of the media because they don't want people to see. But they proved that there is a direct link between endocrine disruptors and a suppressed immune function. They put that back in the day. Now, PFAs are probably the worst when it comes to a reduced immune function. There was one really interesting study where this one Harvard adjunct professor he was studying this one group in the Faroe Islands. It's, you know, a beautiful like tropical place.
Oh my God, I want to go there so bad.
Oh, is it cold where you are?
No, I want to go to the Faroe Islands. They just really? Look amazing. I'm in San Antonio, Texas. It's not too bad usually. You know, it's usually pretty hot, but that I keep seeing that on Instagram and all that, the Faroe Islands, and I'm just like, that's got to be my next destination.
See, Big Brother is listening, and it's because I was thinking about it and reading studies that you got advertised about Faroe Islands.
Exactly.
Right there. Yeah. But so this scientist, Philippe Grandjean, he went to the Faroe Islands. They're basically, they eat mostly seafood, right? Because they're a beautiful tropical island. Mm-hmm. And they did a study on their immune function. And so they actually found that a increased level of PFAs when the mother was pregnant was linked to a dramatic decrease in immune response and antibody response in children. Wow. When they were like 5 years old. So they found that it was both, I think it was diphtheria and tetanus, which they had been vaccinated for.
Yeah.
By age 7, they should have, you know, all the antibodies still, you know, there to provide protection against diphtheria and tetanus. But you know, the higher the amount of PFAs in the mother's blood, the less antibodies and immune function they had to protect their body against these things.
Wow.
In fact, it got so low that basically it was at the level where the vaccine had failed, essentially.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so again, that's just one study on, you know, people that eat a lot of seafood. Seafood is probably the most concentrated when it comes to PFAs, unfortunately, the toxic forever chemical. But you know, this stuff doesn't leave the environment. It just accumulates. Our municipal water supply does not filter it out. You know, and it really just, it's pretty crazy too.
I had a thought because I was thinking, I was reading that article, one of the articles you sent the other day. It was talking about heavy metals. Are those heavy metals considered PFAs, like mercury and zinc and manganese and all that stuff it was talking about?
Yeah, so they are not endocrine disruptors, being that they do act a little bit differently, but they certainly come hand in hand in the sense that very, very low doses can be toxic, and they bioaccumulate. So they, you know, collect in the fat cells in your body, and they also collect in the ground, right? And water. They don't go away. And so that's kind of the scary stuff. So, and it's funny because I'll get these comments on TikTok that are like, oh, well, I'm not going to have kids. And so I don't really care. We're all going to die anyway. And so I'm not going to, like, you know, I'm still going to drink, you know, out of plastic water bottles. Like, who cares? Right.
Right.
Basically this totally nihilistic response. And I think it's a little lazy. I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's a really lazy coping mechanism, really.
Yeah.
What it is.
Yeah.
But you know, it's this idea that like my actions don't impact you, when that has been proven false so many times, and we forget that everything that we do and the personal choices we make impact everybody else around us.
Yes.
And you know, I'm going to get a little gross for a second.
It's okay.
When that dude, who says that he's not going to have kids or whatever, when he makes a choice of eating something like really high in PFAs, right? Mm-hmm. So he has fast food, the PFAs are in the wrapper. He has bagged popcorn, which also has really high levels of PFAs. He eats that. You know, that will go into his body eventually, and BPAs, all of that. Eventually he'll excrete that, and it'll go into our, into the water supply. It will go into a wastewater treatment where it's not getting filtered out. And then they will, you know, use that water to, you know, grow our crops, feed the cows, which then, you know, we'll drink the milk. And we've started seeing a lot of different, you know, lawsuits pop up about a lot of these chemicals being in, like, oh, the most recent one was like Simply Tropical juice has really high PFAs. And it's, to me, I'm like, okay, but it's not just Simply Tropical juice. It's all of our water supply. It's everywhere. And every time someone makes a choice to drink something out of plastic, they're only putting that into the environment more, because these things aren't getting destroyed. So very much so, if you know, care about, like, you know, the procreation of the human species, and that's a little dramatic, but like, it's not really that dramatic when we talked about the fertility issues, you know, that can come as a result, those things will impact it. And very much everything that we do impacts each other. And I think when we get away from that, it can really have an impact both on our physical and our mental health too.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, and they're all connected, right? I mean, that's the, you know, we talk about that with the dark blue all the time, is the mind, body, soul connection. And, you know, the importance of maintaining your gut health and your physical health and your mental health, and it all ties in. And when one of those falls off, the others kind of go with it, right?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And so if your body is not healthy, your mind isn't going to be healthy either, because your stress hormones are higher, because you're sick, and there's all kinds of things going on that contribute to your mental health decreasing because you're physically not well. And all of that, you know, comes back to your gut health, the things you're consuming, and all of, and everything too. So it's just such an important combination. And, you know, and as far as the, you know, this very, I think, selfish mindset, it's, you know, it's interesting to me how common that's become, and how it's like, well, I'm going to do what's right, what's good for me right now. And that's all I care about. It's a scary mindset. And I remember learning about when I in college read The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams. It was all about, I don't know if you've read it before.
I actually haven't. And it's hard for me to say that out loud as like someone that studied writing and all of that, but I haven't.
It's fine. There's so much literature out there, you know, like there's a lot of things I haven't read too. There are things I know I love and enjoy, but that was really impactful for me because just relating to the Industrial Revolution and how this like idea of individualism was so strong, and it was becoming so strong in that time period. And it has just gotten worse since then. And, you know, it's like, now I have my house with my yard and my things and all of that, where, you know, community mindset used to be, oh, somebody new has moved to our community, let's help them build their house.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also part of just the American DNA. Unfortunately, it's like that life, liberty, right? Like, don't tread on me, this whole thing. And, you know, I think there's always been this, you know, push and pull between, you know, personal liberty and then like community and how we really impact each other. And we are tribal. We have, that's how we evolved as people, whereas being in a tribe and taking care of each other. And I think we've gotten far away from that. It's definitely become imbalanced in that direction, in my opinion. Everything being online certainly doesn't help as well. Right. And it's like, we're getting more to like the WALL-E thing, where we're in our little chairs consuming our little thing with our little disposable super processed like foods. Yep. It's it can really feel that way. And yeah, I mean, certainly when someone's sick, they don't, you know, a bag of Cheetos does not make them feel better. It's like a homemade chicken soup. Yeah. Right. And it's really interesting to me too, to see the things that, there's a lot of research out there as well on things that will actually remediate a lot of the damage and help detox your body from the different forms of the plastic. And what's so cool is that it's all just like things that are already readily available. It's not, you know, there is no magic pill, to take, which I think we would also want, right? Yeah. In our American society, we just want a pill that will fix everything.
Exactly.
But it's things like fresh fruits and vegetables that aren't super processed, right? Probiotics, fermented dairy is huge. There's so much research. It's actually really cool that yogurt, kefir, but also like sauerkraut, pickles, kimchi, every culture has their version of it. When consuming those lactobacillus. Yeah, like when consuming those different probiotic strains, the lactobacillus strains, it will actually bind to the plastic that is lodged in your fat cells and help you excrete it and get it out. It eats it. It's so cool. And again, like it's readily accessible, right? Mm-hmm. It's cheap, it's easy. Like, and just by consuming lots of that, you can improve your immune function and you improve your mood, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of I had to get that in there because I think it can be overwhelming to hear about the damage it does, but fixing and remediating some of these things is way easier than I think we realize. It's all readily accessible.
For years, I've been working on you know, making a move towards getting healthier and learning about all that stuff. But it's like every time I learn something, I just go down another rabbit hole of like, there's so many things that I need to learn, and I need to, you know, get under my belt as far as, like getting healthier, right? There's always something more. But over these last few months, I've been really making a hard push to switch to, you know, eating whole foods, as little processed as possible. You know, and switching out all of my personal care products to take away all the fragrance products and things like that. Yeah. And my body already feels so much different, and it's transferred to my energy. Like I have higher energy. I'm like more positive and happy, and I'm already pretty happy, dude. Most of the time, you know, I'm in a pretty just good place most of the time, but I notice a difference in the way I feel. And that is definitely translating into like coming out authentically, more authentically as, you know, being happy and all of that, and not just kind of like forcing it sometimes. Like some days I'm just like, you know, force a smile because I think I have to or whatever. But the more I change my lifestyle as far as what I consume, the more normal that just is. And I'm not forcing it, you know? So
yeah, no, for sure. Cool. It is really cool how just these little changes can make a really big difference. Like I've started using just like bar soap for my hair because like as a woman, I was said like, you know, I was taught like you have to have, you know, like your pre-conditioner, and then you have to have like five different kinds of shampoo, and then like to cycle out so your hair doesn't get tired of the shampoo, and then you have to have the hairstyling product and this and that. And like literally just using bar shampoo, and like it looks the same.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, before all the millions of styling products and eliminating all those things, like they had so many different chemicals and toxins in it. Basically, phthalates, which I've now talked about a few times, you know, which causes infertility, it hides on the label. It's not going to say this has phthalates. It will go, it will say fragrance, right? Or parfum, right? And they put the phthalates in there so that the fragrance is absorbed into the product more and it smells more strongly. Yeah, it's really crazy when you just eliminate them and you can go to like one soap as opposed to like 20 different products. And
yes.
It does feel better. And then you have less waste and like it just having less stuff around too all the time that you constantly need to maintain.
For sure.
You know, there's a reason why the oil industry is super, super set on not making this stuff go away and to also not have us know about how toxic these things are. It's really to their benefit, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all about the money, right? We were talking about that the other day and how we've made such a switch from from companies wanting their reputation to be determined by their quality in the past. And now we're so much, they don't care about their reputation. All they want is to make money off of people. And so, yeah, I mean, I switched to Dr. Bronner's bar soap recently. And literally use it on everything. I use it on my beard, and my beard is healthier than it's ever been. You know, I don't have any split ends in my beard, and it's like, it's growing faster. And I'm just like, this is strange. And so, and even just using I have another bar soap that's got like shea butter in it, and I use that for shaving, and I don't need shaving cream. It's like, it's works just as well.
No, and it's really crazy when you start actually like trying out some of the stuff. You're like, oh wow, this works. This actually works better. Like, another thing is like, there's a lot of PFAs in your dental floss. And again, if you think about it, it's like a nonstick surface. So I switched to this one brand that it's Radius, but it's PFA free, and it actually flosses better. Like,
nice.
I have a water pick too, but it doesn't get everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is so cool when it works out that it's like healthy and it's just as cheap and affordable as all the other bad stuff, but it actually does a better job. And I think a lot of the stuff gets labeled as like, oh, it's Gwyneth Paltrow goop, or it's too woo. Someone called me a flat earther the other day on Instagram. I'm like,
yeah, because those things are okay.
I know. I'm like, I don't understand how those two, wait, but what they meant to say is that, these are crazy, like, you know, super out there radical ideas, but they're actually not. Like, this is, again, it's based in science. And, another story I'll tell you is just about how, we've known that like plastics, and in this case specifically, it was BPAs in low doses, cause cancer in adults, and you know, cause obesity and the reduced immunity and all the metabolic disorders and ADHD, all the things that I've kind of spoken about. We've known and have proven that for a very long time. And BPAs started getting a lot of heat in like the late 1990s. A lot of studies were being published about, mm-hmm. The detrimental effects of them and how bad they were for kids. France banned them completely. And, BPAs, you can't make plastic without the chemicals and the oil industry. Again, the same guys that invented the live recycling, they all got together again and were like, shoot, like every, they're trying to ban BPAs and plastic, and we have to tamp down some of these reports that are coming out. And they hired this consulting group called the Weinberg Group to actually create an entire disinformation campaign. The Weinberg Group had previously worked for the tobacco industry, and they had created whole disinformation campaign against secondhand smoke, mm-hmm. trying to convince the public that secondhand smoke was totally fine, even though it's been obviously was, is not. And so they literally hired the same dudes to do this. And they had their own academic journal, and they paid scientists thousands of dollars to publish studies in their own academic journal saying, oh, well, BPAs are actually safe.
Yeah.
Even though they're not, mm-hmm. there was a congressional inquiry that begun in, I think it was 2004. And then it ended up surprisingly going nowhere. And all of that information just kind of got forgotten. And then of course, who ends up as like our EPA commissioner, but the fucking the CEO of DuPont ended up being like our EPA commissioner.
Oh yeah.
But it's like when you start seeing some of this stuff, it's really crazy how there has been and still is a very active campaign in having people that talk about this stuff being labeled as crazy or radical, when really it's just the truth, because right. they want to continue to make money and they want to make sure that people don't know how bad this stuff really is for you.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Like that's historical, right? That gets done to people who know the truth and they're speaking truth, right? I mean, it's not an uncommon thing for the truth to get snuffed by money. I want to look into it and see if that's who Johnson & Johnson hired to snuff the asbestos claims for their talc. I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. What I do know about the Weinberg Group, investigations I've done, is that they got bought up by another group, and they currently work for, wait for it, the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh my gosh.
If you Google Weinberg consulting firm and you look them up on YouTube, they have a lot of different like training videos that are like how to deal with FDA approval and deal with the FDA process of your pharmaceuticals. They're in the pharmaceutical industry. So
interesting. Cool. Well. So yeah, I mean, you guys who are listening, this is a lot of information, and I hope you've enjoyed it so far. I definitely have. It's really great to have this conversation. I'm just like, these kinds of things just interest me so much because they get so deep, and it's just totally worth exploring and getting into. And I definitely encourage you to get online and start watching some documentaries and stuff, and do a little bit of your own research and figure it out for yourself. And if these things resonate for you, then, don't get overwhelmed. We talked a little bit about how much information there is, and don't try not to get overwhelmed by trying to completely change your life in a day or a week. Focus on the things that are most important to you first, and change those things first, because it's likely that you could make some pretty simple changes with those big ones. So for me, it's like making sure that I'm not eating processed foods, right? And so getting rid of as much of those from my life as possible, that's my first move. Second move was getting rid of fragrances, which is also another easy thing to do. And so I'm actually in the process of compiling a list of some of my favorite products, and I'll get that to you guys as soon as I have it with links and everything. So if you're interested, I'll have that available on our website, so you can go and check out some products you can buy. And B, if you have any that are really some of your favorites, I'd love to hear about those, including Tabor Place. I know that's probably a favorite of yours.
Yeah, glass sippy cups for sure. All the glass for our kids. But, you know, it's funny. A lot of people, again, online will be like, I don't want to have to buy another thing. And I'm like, you know what? Even stopping ingesting plastic is as easy as like a few simple things, right? So like heat exponentially increases the amount of plastic into your food. And it's impossible to... it's pretty impossible to buy food that isn't packaged in plastic in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Right. But as long as you're not heating something in plastic, that alone is going to eliminate so much from your diet. Right. So whenever I see like one of those like steam in bag or like steam broccoli in the bag, I'm like, don't do that. Right. Yeah. So just like doing things not in plastic. If you, a lot of people say like, I have to get takeout, you know, from time to time when I'm out on the road, that's totally fine. Just like take it out of the container. Right. It is, you know, when you're able to, if you're going to reheat something, don't reheat it in the plastic container. You know, it's little simple things like that. A lot of people will be like, I can't buy fresh fruits and vegetables because maybe it's too expensive. I have to buy it in a can. And I'm like, okay, but if you buy frozen fresh fruits and vegetables, that has way less plastic in it than that BPA epoxy resin lined can, right? Yeah. There's a lot of easy switches that you can do cheaply to avoid some of the worst amounts of plastic that you end up ingesting. And yes, definitely all the stainless steel, all the glass, all the wood, all of like the old school things your grandparents would have used, like are still good today.
Yes.
Like just do it.
If you can go to estate sales and get some of that stuff from the 60s, after the lead paint was banned.
Yeah, I know that too, right? Oh my gosh. But yeah, just like, again, a lot of the times we think it has to be this a new product. And I'm like, no, like wood is really great. Glass is really great. And yes, as fresh and unprocessed as possible. And you will really start to notice the difference within your body and really how easy it is and how many times you'll start noticing how many times you interact with plastic.
A couple more things before we go. I would like to start wrapping up just because it's just it's a lot, you know, and I want to give everyone a little bit of breathing room to process all of these new facts that we're probably learning. And because this is all very new for me, and I think the majority of us don't have a lot of this information yet. So anyway, but I would like to know some specific ingredients that people can look out for, whether they're obvious or hidden ingredients that they can look out for to avoid buying, first off. And then second, I would like to know, what are some of your personal favorite products that you like to use that are more sustainable, less plastic?
Yeah, for sure. So, and as far as ingredients, anything, as far as like body care, shampoo, all of that, anything that says it has fragrance, right? Mm-hmm. And you can also assume that if it does not say on the label phthalate free, it has phthalates. Like you can just safely assume that. And that goes to your laundry detergent, your hand soap, shampoo, body lotion, whatever. All of that is going to have phthalates unless otherwise stated. And, you know, so definitely you want to avoid anything that basically doesn't say phthalate free, if you can. There's a lot of really good options at Target. Right. So like, and again, like you mentioned Dr. Bronner's, that's awesome. There's, you know, I'm trying to think, I use Weleda or Alba Botanicals. That stuff is really good too. There's stuff called
I saw them at Whole Foods recently.
Yeah. Like a lot of the stuff is really simple and easy to get. And again, if you can get down to like bar soap and bar conditioner, it doesn't work for all purposes, but that stuff is also good too. And again, like, yeah, it's also really cheap, which is so cool. In regards to food, you just want to eat as unprocessed as possible. Every time it interacts with plastic, it's going to absorb it. Certainly, if it comes in a tear-off pouch, it's not going to be good. And anything that comes in some sort of like nonstick packaging. And so I mentioned bagged popcorn before, right? Like super, super toxic with PFAS, and heat exponentially increases the amount of leaching of any.
Specifically about microwave popcorn or about any popcorn that comes in a bag?
So the studies I've seen are specifically on bagged microwave popcorn. There's a lot of things that third party tests and advocacy groups haven't tested, but I would imagine that bagged popcorn, probably like that's not in a microwave, but it comes pre-popped. That probably also has PFAS, albeit not as concentrated, but merely because they're doing it in a factory setting, right? And so if they're doing it in some like big vat, that vat is lined with like plastic, right, to keep it clean. And so I imagine it would have that as well. And again, yeah. So anything as if you can do it from scratch, and doing popcorn in the microwave is extremely easy. You don't need a bag. You literally just put it in a glass bowl, and like a silicone universal lid is one of my favorite things in the world. I use it all the time, but it's just a lid that is high grade food grade silicone, right? Which is non-toxic. You put it on top of the glass lid, it covers it, and then you put that in the microwave, and you can make awesome popcorn in, again, the same amount of time, but it just doesn't have the toxic chemicals.
Cool.
Right? So anytime that you can make buy something in glass, do it. Anytime you can buy something that is in cartons, like the Tetra Pak cartons, those are slightly better. Right. So it's still plastic, but it's the low density polyethylene, which is slightly better plastic than the other types of plastic. You got to avoid canned foods, whether it's BPA. A lot of them will say like BPA free, but like it's all bad. Sure. And every single, all of that is lined with really toxic levels of plastic. And then buying things in glass bottles. Like I have like a root beer obsession.
Nice. That's
like my vice.
Solid.
Right. So instead of buying it in cans, aluminum cans lined in plastic, like I just get the kind in glass bottles, and like, you know, it's classier anyways, right?
Truly, truly. And usually you can get a better, like nice craft root beer, you know, that's got less sugar and less of the corn syrups and things like that. If you buy them in glass bottles, you're a lot more likely to get that type of product too. So that's good.
Totally. Yeah. And it's not that much more expensive. And again, I think all these things come with a cost. A lot of the times people think that like single serve is cheaper, but it's actually not when you break down the cost of it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like cheese sticks, for example, my kids, well, they used to love, I never let them eat that much of it, but my husband would buy cheese sticks for them. But if you think of like the amount of plastic to the actual cheese ratio, like there's more plastic than there is cheese. And instead of just like getting a block of cheese and like cutting little cubes yourself, right? Like if you just do it yourself, buying something in bulk and then cutting it down when you need it for consumption is going to reduce a lot of the plastic. Single serve in general is more heavily processed, and again, it's like the ratio of like the plastic to the item. And it's not, a lot of the times it's not even cheaper, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's just more convenient. And and also has a fun factor to it that makes the kids want to eat it more. You know, it's like Lunchables are the same way. It's got a fun factor to it, right? So the kids are
Lunchables. I mean, there are like microorganisms and toxic chemicals in there that we will never know.
Lunchables. Oh, yeah. The gel like that meat comes in. Oh,
my God. <It's> so bad.
Makes me nauseous thinking about that.
I know. Like, and so like I have ADD, I have hypothyroidism. I've had, you know, my own metabolic issues when I was a teenager, and I've thought about like, where did it come from? And I don't, there's no way for me to know, but like, I ate a lot of Hamburger Helper when I was growing up, you know, which is like, they still have it, but it's like, you got your powdered cheese sauce and your noodles and the can of tuna. Oh man. Like, which like, I'm like, that could totally be the cause of it. Like that can definitely be a cause.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm realizing through all of this, I'm just like, well, if I have cancer, it's because of the 80s.
Yeah, I know. Because of the 80s, for sure. There were so many
blame things. Blame it on the 80s.
I know. Oh my God. Yeah. There's so many other things that I could think of, But yeah, just there was a lot of cooking in plastic. Again, if you don't, if you eat something in a different container that's not plastic, it's super easy and you're eliminating it so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, another cool thing to talk about is the grating on plastic as well. If you have to have something that's plastic, if you look on the bottom of it, there's going to be a grade, which is 1 through 5, I believe. And I know there are some, it's like it breaks down and it's more toxic and things like that, depending on the level of plastic, the level of the grade.
Yeah, I actually just saw a TikTok on this and I didn't know. She had just got the most recent Farmer's Almanac. Mm-hmm. And back of the Farmer's Almanac, it actually had, you know, all the different levels of plastic, which you can find on the bottom of every plastic bottle.
Yeah.
It'll have the number inside the chasing arrows. And by the way, I just want to mention that just because it has the chasing arrows does not mean that it actually is recyclable. Again, that's why we get 5% of things getting recycled. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies have gotten in trouble because they put that on there because potentially it could be recyclable, but it doesn't mean that your recycling facility is actually going to recycle it.
Right.
So there's, again, that's a lie. But what she talks about in the video is that, you know, it goes through the different level, the different kinds of plastic, and she picks up different plastic things she has in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Farmer's Almanac, it says which ones are toxic and which ones aren't. And all the ones, they're all toxic.
Right.
Some are worse than others for sure. And the ones that were the worst are the ones that she had her food came in. And the ones that were the safest were the things like her Tide liquid laundry detergent, her Lysol. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is crazy. Really, sorry. My kids are trying to break in the door.
That's awesome.
Oh, no.
They want to see you.
Yes, I know. Right.
Well. Yeah. That's totally okay. That's actually a great sign for us to go ahead and wrap up. You can, you know, go see your kiddos. Just one more quick thing I need to ask you is if you, on this topic or any other topic, if you could give everybody listening one piece of life advice, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. A 1,000,000%, like the mind-body connection, and 1,000,000%, like what you do has an impact on yourself and others. And gosh, like plastic isn't safe. Don't drink out of plastic. And something more along the lines of, if it's not good for the environment, it's probably not good for your body either. And like the things that are good for yourself, your mind and your body, you can usually tell kind of intuitively that it is good for you. It doesn't feel good to have something single serve and then just throw it away. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is easy to do that, but it doesn't necessarily feel good intuitively. And to just kind of be in touch with that and how, you know, these things have an impact to others in our community, even if we don't realize it. That was absolutely. Like 5 minutes.
That's totally okay. it all ties together, which is perfect. So go ahead and share with everybody where they can find you and maybe a couple products you offer so they know what they're looking for.
Yeah. So I sell, borosilicate glass, kids sippy cups for kids, for parents trying to not have a lot of plastic in their life. I'm Tabor Place. That's Tabor Place, Place.co. But I'm on Amazon. I'm the top customer rated glass sippy cup on Amazon. I'm on Walmart. I'm on TikTok, under Tabor Place, Tabor Place. It's named after my great grandfather. Clarence.
Her TikTok
Taylor.
Feed is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I try and have fun and not be super depressing because some of this stuff can feel really Debbie Downer, but yeah.
For sure. So yeah, you guys go check her out. And if you have kids or friends or family with kids, go get them a nice, nice gift for their baby. The acacia wood plates are something that I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
I saw those on your website. So
yep. I'm going to be coming out with those. I'm going to be coming out with some lunch boxes. I have a spiky hedgehog cup that I'm really excited about. And nice. Eventually I will also have adult cups as well. I get a lot of questions about that, but I'm entirely self-funded and I can, you know, it just means that, you know, it moves a little bit slower. So
yes, that's totally fine. Like supporting small businesses and something that's sustainable like this and is better for the environment and better for our bodies. That's amazing. So you guys go and support Tabor Place. And in whatever way you can, whether it's just following on the social media or buying products, whatever that may be. So make that happen. And otherwise, thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Beatrice, for being here with me today. I really appreciate you.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be a part of this. And I so appreciate what you're doing as well. So thank you again for everything you put out into the world. It's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Likewise.